Vice President Lenny Robredo shrugs off reports several mayors in her bailiwick of Camarines Sur are supporting the presidential bid of rival Ferdinand Marcos Jr. The Philippines' COVID-19 death toll now at more than 53,000, including the country's first two Omicron-related fatalities. Senator Franklin Griloan wants the unvaccinated chief of the public attorney's office banned from her job. And Brazil reports its highest ever single-day COVID-19 tally. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. Our top story, FSR. Vice President and presidential candidate Lenny Robredo unfazed by the reported support of 11 Camarines Sur mayors for her rival, Ferdinand Marcos Jr. Robredo says her victory against Marcos in the VP race in 2016 shows she has the backing of her hometown and the Bicol region.
When I was running for VP, halos walang malaking politiko dito sa Bicol region na nag-throw ng support for me. And I was expecting that, pero I still got almost 70% of the Bicolano vote. Pati yung suporta ng mga Bicolano now is unlike 2016. Noong 2016, mas mahihiyain pa yung mga tao to go out. Pero now, yung galaw talaga ng gagaling sa ordinaryong mamamayan, and they have been doing so much.
Robredo also says she's not letting the disqualification cases against Marcos affect her campaign.
Yung disqualification cases are stuff na outside of what we're fighting for. Meaning to say, kung meron siyang meron siyang kailangan panagutan niya yon. Pero labas yon sa laban namin ito. Mas mabuting talunin ko siya sa eleksyon despite his numbers now. Malakas yung loob ko kasi unang-una tinalo ko na siya in 2016. Mm-hmm. And in 2016, I also started with very low numbers. Mas mabuti-buti na nga ngayon. Ngayon nga na mas marami yung mga volunteers na very invested, lalong yung possibility na kakayanin.
A COMELEC official denies they're delaying the resolution on disqualification cases against Ferdinand Marcos Jr. to favor one party. COMELEC Commissioner Rowena Guanzon hopes the public would understand the poll body's procedures. It was Guanzon who earlier said the decision of the COMELEC's first division on the disqualification cases will be out on or before January 17th. The poll body's second division released its own ruling last Monday, junking a separate petition seeking to nullify Marcos's certificate of candidacy. The so-called uni-team of Marcos and Davao City Mayor Sara Duterte unveils its partial list of senatorial bets for the 2022 elections. Leading the lineup is House Deputy Speaker Rodante Marcoleta. Controversial lawyer Larry Gadon also made the cut, along with Senators Mix Zubiri and Sherwin Gachalian, as well as former Public Works Secretary Mark Villar and former Quezon City Mayor Herbert Bautista. Meanwhile, opposition coalition Isambayan endorses 7 senatorial candidates in the upcoming polls. Included in the initial list are lawyer Alex Lacson, labor leader Sunny Matula, human rights lawyer Shel Diokno, as well as re-electionists Laila De Lima and Risa Ontiveros. Former Senator Antonio Trillanes IV and former Ifugao Representative Teddy Bagilat also made the cut. Isambayan's full senatorial slate is expected to be released January 28th.
We would like the candidates that we will be endorsing, this would hold true with also candidates in the local level, that they will endorse only the Lenny Kiko ticket. We also have other options of getting other candidates that may not be part of the 12 candidates selected by Lenny Robredo and Kiko Pangilinan. So we are still open.
Noticeably absent from Isambayan senatorial ticket is Bayan Muna Chairman Neri Colmenares, who used to be one of the coalition's conveners before he decided to run for senator. The Philippines' COVID-19 death toll breaches 53,000. That's after the health department recorded 82 additional fatalities Wednesday. Among the latest deaths are the country's first two fatalities linked to the Omicron variant. The Philippines also detected nearly 23,000 new infections. Daily cases, though, have been declining since January 16. The DOH says it cannot confirm yet whether the surge has reached its peak.
Pero alam natin, ang daming gumagamit ngayon ng antigen test sa community, sa local government, and even at their homes. No? Alam din natin, marami rin sa ating kababayan chose not to have their tests anymore, but rather they isolated na lang. So ito po yung dalawang factors na tinitignan natin, malaking bagay. Sa ngayon, katulad ng sabi ko, it's still early for us to conclude that the cases are going down. Usually, we wait for 1 week to see really the trend.
Over in Central Visayas, the Vicente Soto Memorial Medical Center faces a staff shortage as more than 100 health workers there test positive for COVID. Annie Perez now joins us on the line for an update. Annie, go ahead.
Yes, Carmina. The Central Visayas Regional Hospital, which is Vicente Soto Memorial Medical Center, reported that they are now short-staffed with 242 of its health workers either in quarantine and in isolation. We talked to Dr. Helen Madamba, who is the COVID-19 chief implementer in VSMMC, and she said that out of 242, 129 are in quarantine after testing positive, while of this number, 96 are experiencing only mild symptoms, 4 are asymptomatic, and only 1 has moderate COVID. 113 of them are in isolation waiting for the results of their RT-PCR test after experiencing symptoms and being exposed to COVID-positive patients. Despite contracting the virus, Dr. Madamba said all of them are vaccinated and have received booster shots. They're also capable of filling in and augmenting the healthcare workers that are now in quarantine and isolation, and they're already implementing their contingency plans as we speak. The hospital is expanding their COVID-19 wards on a daily basis, as a lot of people are being admitted because of the virus. Yet Madamba said that not all of them are critical and they are just incidental patients where they are conducting the protocol of getting the RT-PCR test of those who are admitted either for illnesses and accidents in this tertiary hospital. As of today, 86% are already occupied in their COVID ward. That's why they have to keep on expanding to other rooms and other departments where there are less patients and could be converted to a COVID ward. Madamba also said that they have noticed an increase in pediatric patients in VSMMC, which all of them are unvaccinated, 11 years old and below. Now they're calling on the local government units to ramp up information drive, and VSMMC continues to be open for teleconsultation and telemedicine and to be a referral hospital in the region for severe and critically ill patients of COVID-19. Based on the latest data released by the Department of Health, Central Visayas logged 1,632 new cases, and the highest of it in the areas is Cebu City at 732 new cases. Now, the total number of active cases in the region is at 9,532. And that's the latest here from Central Visayas, Carmina.
Thanks a lot. Annie Perez there joining us on the line. Take care, Annie, and you keep safe. The office of the vice president getting overwhelmed with the number of people needing medical consultation amid the Omicron surge. According to Vice President Lenny Robredo, their Bayanihan e-consulta program has been hitting its 400-patient quota in less than 10 minutes.
Ang pinakaayaw namin is meron kaming na-register na mga pasyente tapos hindi namin sila nababalikan soon as possible time. Mm-hmm. So we tried by managing everything. Sabi naman we'll put a cap, 400 patients a day only. Yung first day, I think January 3, yun yung first day nung grabe yung surge. Naka 400 kami after 3 hours and 30 minutes. And then the following day, it was just over an hour. Since then, we closed after 9 minutes. We opened at 8 o'clock. And then 8:09, we had 400 patients already. Ganun siya kagrabe.
Robredo also slams the no vaccination, no ride policy in Metro Manila's public transportation hub. She says government should instead work to make COVID-19 vaccines more accessible to the public.
Discriminatory talaga to. If we saw on the news yung mga ini-interview, it's not because they did not want to be vaccinated. Masyadong centralized yung vaccination center. Mas konti yung pupunta. Pero if you make it very, very accessible, then ang daming dumadagsa. Making the vaccinations available in pharmacies, this is a very good move, but something that we could have done many months ago. Sa mga malalapit, sa mga transportation hubs, mga terminals, sa mga LRT, MRT stations, baka dapat accessible din yung swabbing sa vaccination. Mm-hmm. Kasi this is where people conglomerate. Eh. Yes. And wala nang necessity for them to miss work.
Senate Minority Leader Franklin Drilon slams Public Attorney's Office Chief Persida Acosta over her refusal to get vaccinated for COVID-19. Drilon says the palace and the Justice Department should bar Acosta from physically reporting to work. Acosta admitted to ANC that she herself is unvaccinated. The senator describes this as a slap on the government that has been restricting the movement of unvaccinated Filipinos. The PAL chief has been accused of damaging vaccine confidence in the Philippines. That's after she pursued charges on the controversial Dengvaxia vaccine in 2017.
PAL Chief Acosta is precisely a chief of office. She is a high-ranking official. She's an undersecretary. People look up to her, for example, of how a government official should behave. And if she says, I don't want to be vaccinated for various reasons, fine. That will be respected. But the government, in the exercise of its police power, has the right to protect her co-workers, the community in general, by barring her from going to work unless she gets vaccinated.
The Philippine Anti-Red Tape Authority, along with other key agencies, signed a joint memorandum streamlining the processes and requirements on domestic travel. Under the memorandum, the use of S-Pass will be institutionalized as the one-stop shop application and communication for travelers. The S-Pass is a travel management system developed by the Department of Science and Technology. All local government units are required to integrate their existing travel management applications to the system. The move is aimed at helping the tourism sector recover from the pandemic. Brazil reporting a record high number of COVID-19 cases. The country reported over 204,000 new infections, breaking its previous record for the second day in a row. But experts believe the actual case count is higher amid a shortage in tests and a faulty system for data reporting. The health ministry also reported 338 additional deaths, taking the total death toll to over 622,000. That's the third highest in the world behind the U.S. and India. Britain will start lifting most COVID restrictions next week. That's as Prime Minister Boris Johnson believes the Omicron wave that swept through the country has peaked. The country's health minister says the move will make the UK the most open country in the whole of Europe.
This is a moment that we can all be proud of. The culmination of a brilliant national mission that helped us to withstand the Omicron wave and restore more freedom to this country. It's a reminder of what this country can accomplish when we all work together.
Britain was the first country to limit international travel over the Omicron variant. In December, it introduced a work-at-home advice as well as face mask and vaccine pass mandates. U.S. President Joe Biden assuring Americans there will be no return to lockdowns, even as infections continue to surge due to the Omicron variant. The highly contagious mutation now accounts for 99.5% of COVID-19 cases in the U.S. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention predicts deaths due to the virus will likely increase over the next 4 weeks. The same goes for new hospital admissions. The Biden administration has been criticized for not doing enough to fight the Omicron outbreak. But Biden insists the U.S. is now in a much better place than a year ago when he first came into power.
Omicron has now been challenging us in a way that it's the new enemy. But while it's cause for concern, it's not cause for panic. We've been doing everything we can, learning and adapting as fast as we can. Should we have done more testing earlier? Yes. But we're doing more now. It will get better. We're moving toward a time when COVID-19 won't disrupt our daily lives. Where COVID-19 won't be a crisis, but something to protect against and a threat. Look, we're not there yet, but we will get there.
One of the ways the Biden administration is looking to curb the Omicron wave is by giving away millions of free N95 masks. More in this report.
400 million N95 masks from the government's strategic national stockpile will be made available for free to U.S. residents starting next week. That's according to a White House official who said the non-surgical face masks will soon be shipped to pharmacies and community health centers for pickup. The official said the program, the largest deployment of PPE in U.S. history, will be fully up and running by early February. It's the latest move from the Biden administration to help slow the spread of COVID-19 after the president and his team faced criticism for not doing enough in the face of Omicron, including on testing. Addressing that criticism, free COVID-19 tests can now be ordered through a government website, which launched this week. Many health officials applaud increased testing and masks, especially the N95 that form a seal around the nose and mouth to help slow the spread of the virus. But several executives told Reuters that healthcare supply chains remain fragile and that small and poorly funded hospitals are at most risk of running low on N95s if Americans snap them up. U.S. mask makers, however, say they have the means to make millions of them each month.
We're going to take a break now. Up ahead, a Chinese firm bags a multi-billion-dollar contract for the PNR's South Railway project. Dateline Philippines will be right back. Stay with us here on AMC. We're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Vice President Lenny Robredo shrugs off reports several mayors in her bailiwick of Camarines Sur are supporting the presidential bid of rival Ferdinand Marcos Jr. The Philippines' COVID-19 death toll now at more than 53,000, including the country's first two Omicron-related fatalities. Senator Franklin Drilon wants the unvaccinated chief of the public attorney's office banned from her job. And Brazil reports its highest ever single-day COVID-19 tally. Back with more news, the Philippine Transportation Department awards to a Chinese contractor the $2.8 billion PNR South Long Haul Railway project. The 380-kilometer railway will link Calamba Laguna to Legazpi Albay and cut travel time from 12 to just 4 hours. The project is a joint venture between China Railway Group and China Railway Engineering Consulting Group. Chinese Ambassador to the Philippines, Huang Xilian, calls the deal another milestone for China-Philippines cooperation and the highest-funded government-to-government project between the two countries. Right. On yesterday's program, we spoke to an environmentalist heading efforts to stop the construction of a jetty port for mining in the Alusiis River. They argue it will destroy the ecosystem in that area. Let's now get the side of the Environment Department on this. Joining us, Director Wilson Trajeco of the DNR's Environmental Management Bureau in Region 3. Also joining us is Engineer Raldi Pagador. He is the engineer in charge of the project. Gentlemen, good afternoon to you and thank you for joining us today.
Good afternoon.
All right. First off, I want to ask you, why did you issue an ECC to AGN Trading to construct this jetty port for mining on the Alusias River? Let me go to Director Trajeco first.
The AGN Trading, represented by General Manager Alan Nuki, has secured an ECC on November 24, 2021, after all the legal requirements has been complied with. The advice that he may proceed with the project implementation after securing all the necessary permits from other pertinent government agencies. One of the requirements prior to the issuance is the compatibility of the project into the land use plan of the municipality concerned.
Okay, but what about the people? Was there any consultation that was done? Did you even look into the effect of the construction on the biodiversity in the area, on the ecosystem in Alusias River?
Yes.
Go ahead, Director, and then I'm going to go to Engineer Pagador in a while. Go ahead.
Yes, he passed the environmental impact statement system, stating, among others, the mitigating measures in the project implementation as well as in the abandonment phase. That's why the ECC has been issued.
And you said it passed based on what?
Based on the presentation of the project, that the project would mitigate its impact on the environment if the following components will be implemented.
And the presentation was made by?
By the AGN Construction.
Did you do any due diligence to sort of check what they presented to you, or did you just rely on what they said?
We rely on the submission of the documents online, kasi yung submission of the issuance of the ECC is online. With the submission of the required legal documents that warrant for the issuance of the ECC.
Pero hindi po ba, Director, kung ano ang isusumitin nila sa inyo? Siyempre, ang gusto nilang maipresenta sa inyo ay yung gusto nyong makita o para ma-approve ang kanilang ECC. But on your part, did you do due diligence? Kayo ho ba'y tinignan nyo ho ba yung dokumento at kinountercheck kung talaga bang totoo ang sinasabi nila?
Yes, of course. I-countercheck na namin yan. Nag-due diligence kami sa mga papers na sinasubmit. At saka yung one of the requirements is the no opposition sa area.
Okay, no opposition sa area. Yesterday, we had Heidi Fernandez of the Save Zambales Kalikasan Movement. There's a huge opposition to this project. Paano niyo sasabihin na wala?
During the submission of documents, form part of the is sworn accountability that there is no opposition in the area. Form part of the submission prior to the issuance of the ECC.
Pero ngayon na may opposition,
ginavalidate natin yan, ginamonitor natin. Usually, the last monitoring conducted on January 20, January 14, 2020, there is no construction of approximately 500 meters long access road going to the proposed causeway was observed. No dredging operation was noted during the conduct inspection. No river project was environmentally questionable in the area. It's just a construction of access road in the proposed causeway project. No construction of causeway project yet. And then the remarks and the recommendation is the The document presented by AJND has all the necessary documents needed to construct COSWE project, like zoning certificate, mayor's permit, environmental compliance certificate, and Sendro Olonga po clearances.
Okay, let me just go to Engineer Raldi. Engineer Pagador, kayo ba yung nag-issue ng ECC?
Hello?
Yes, Engineer. Go ahead. I can hear you. Hello, were you the one responsible for issuing
We are the one who... I was the one to recommend for the issuance of the ECC to our regional director.
Okay. And you issued the ECC because...
Yes, they pass all the necessary requirements.
Documentary requirements?
Yes.
What kind of due diligence do you conduct to counter-check these documents?
Yes, example for the location of zoning clearance, we call the mayor of the area to validate the authenticity of the submitted documents. And they said that it is the issue.
So you merely called the mayor. You didn't go there and see for it yourself.
No,
see,
ma'am.
It for yourself. Go ahead.
We have another division who will conduct the monitoring. That's why we have the latest monitoring report conducted.
Engineer Pagador, may I ask you when they started the application process for this jetty port for mining in Alusiis River?
I think it's October, maybe in October.
October of what year?
2021.
And you were able to grant the ECC when?
On November 24, 2021.
Is that normal for you to issue an ECC considering all the due diligence that must be done in a month's time?
Yes, ma'am. We have, the ARTALO, we have a maximum of 20 days to approve or disapprove an ECC. Maximum of 20 days.
Maximum of 20 days. How then?
Yes.
Okay, so let me just... go back to what you said. You said that you had the application started October of 2021. How would you then explain that the people there actually noticed and have been monitoring activities already since April of 2021 without any ECC, Engineer?
We are talking about the GAT port. So report coming from the field that there's no construction yet on the GAT port.
Okay.
Construction is being conducted.
Okay.
There's a certification from the barangay captain that there's no construction yet. And they will verify in the field that it's really true. There's no construction yet. Until January 14th. No construction yet for the causeway. Only
engineer. Okay, let me just get this in.
Yes.
How do you see the project, ba? How are you compartmentalizing the project? Because
yes,
you're being very technical about it. You're saying there's no construction yet.
Yes.
But there's reclamation that's happening.
No.
Isn't that part of the whole building of
no
this?
Reclamation. No reclamation. Ma'am, no reclamation.
Okay, what is this then that we're showing you right now? If that's not reclamation, what is it? How would you describe this activity that's ongoing?
Now it's a construction of an access road, dirt road, access road, going to the site.
Going to the site of where the jetty port is going to be built.
Located, yes.
Okay, so kasama rin po siya dun sa proyekto. Hindi nyo pwedeng sabihin na access road lamang ito. Itong access road ay magdudugtong dun sa jetty port for mining in the Alusiis River. Tama ho ba?
Yes, po.
Okay. Itong pag-construct ng access road, did you consult the public regarding this?
Access road? is not our Manisud Media DPWH.
Eh bakit po kayong sumasagot tungkol dito sa access road kung DPWH ang
yes ma'am because
dapat konsulta?
Now we on during the inspection only access road was being done today. No port construction yet. So
okay.
We issued the ECC for the port.
Engineer, how if the jetty port is going to be built, how will the people get there? Hindi ba dahil dito they're going to go through the access road?
Yes po.
Okay.
But there's a problem of land dispute in the area. That's why. There's okay. A land dispute in the area. That's why they're complaining.
So you are whittling, you are taking this just as an issue of land dispute? You're not thinking of the environmental harm or the harm that it will bring by to the biodiversity in the area? Sa pananaw po ng DENR, ito lamang ay land dispute problem? Kaya,
yes.
Kaya tumitindig po ang mga tao doon sa Zambales?
That's the report from the field.
And did you do anything to counter-check this?
Counter-check what?
Sino po ang nag-report sa inyo from the field? From the office
our,
of the
our division, not our division, our environmental monitoring division.
At ato, ano pong sinabi nila? It's just about land dispute?
Yes. It's a land dispute and the AGN has all the necessary papers and the complainant is also claiming the area. So that's why.
How then would you explain the statement given to us by Heidi Fernandez of the Save Zambales Kalikasan movement yesterday here on the show that it's all about protecting their community, the livelihood of the fisher folk, the tourism industry there that will be affected? Ang sabi po niya sa amin kahapon, yung mga fisher folk po doon na ang kanilang main source of income ay yung pagbabangus po. Kahit wala pa po yung jetty port, kahit ito lang pong access road to the jetty port ang ginagawa, nagkaroon na po ng epekto sa kanilang kabuhayan. So you're telling us that that's still about land dispute?
Yes, ma'am. So they claim that there's a effect on the bangos. Should be certified by the forest bureau, should be backed up by a study or a report or certificate from the BIFAR. So it will not rely on mere saying, like what you said.
If you're not going to rely on hearsay, then shouldn't you have investigated it yourself?
It's not our mandate for investigating the fisheries. It should
Engineer?
Be other agency, ma'am.
Engineer, but isn't it your mandate to protect and preserve the environment and natural resources of the country? And not just
yes.
Issue environmental compliance certificates based on documents that you receive from an applicant that's whose plan is to build a jetty port for mining there or any other project. Hindi po ba yun ang dapat na mandato ninyo?
Yes, ma'am.
So tell me then, engineer, what have you done?
We issued
to protect the environment.
Yes, we issued the ECC, as our regional director said, we issued the ECC with 32 conditions. So if they can comply that, so they will protect the environment. If they will not comply, then that's the time that we will issue a notice of violation or we will cancel their ECC if they cannot comply the conditions.
Engineer, glad that you mentioned the 23 conditions. The word that we got from Ms. Fernandez yesterday is that activities continue, although the personnel there of AGN Trading, I think, they're forced to stop operations because pumunta na po doon ang mga mamamayan ng Zambales at talagang hinaharang nila ang kanilang mga sarili. This in the time of the pandemic. Engineer. At ang sinasabi po sa amin ni Ms. Fernandez is that yes, the ECC was issued, but it had some conditions there.
Yes.
Despite the conditions not being met, they continue to operate and build kung ano man yan, yung reclamation project na yan. So having said that, isn't that already in violation of the ECs that you issued them? Hindi pa kompleto ang kanilang mga conditions, ang kanilang mga papeles to meet those conditions that you have set for them.
Yes, ma'am. But the construction of the jet is not yet started. Only access road.
Itong access road na ito, meron ho ba itong ECC?
Based on our guidelines, it's not required. It's only we can require them to apply if the length is 2 kilometers.
But isn't this access road part of the jetty port project?
Access road? Maybe it's a part, but it's not in our issue. It's not included in our issue, ECC.
Because the
proponent, there's an agreement with the local government units. He said that I think the permit was issued by the LGUs on the area for the access road.
So pinapasa nyo naman po ngayon sa LGU. I want to talk to Director Wilson Trajeco.
Yes,
now. Director Trajeco, isn't it about time for you to step in here and do something considering the pushback coming from the community? The community that you're supposed to protect based on your mandate as in the Department of Environment and Natural Resources. Bakit po, kung san-san po pa po sila humihingi ng tulong, gayon dapat, kayo dapat ang tumutulong sa kanila at nagpoprotekta sa kanila hindi nyo dapat pinoprotektahan yung kumpanya. Go ahead, Director.
Totoo po yan, mag-step in na yung opisina para i-validate yung mga violation niya sa ECC condition, if indeed na-violate niya yung mga ECC sa condition ng ECC to help them in the area.
Okay, so sa pananaw niyo ngayon, now that this has come to your attention, what are the possible lapses here? Is it on the part of the local government unit? Is it on the part of Engineer Pagador's office? How are you assessing this situation now? What is your assessment?
As of now, we cannot assess the situation right now because the causeway has not yet been constructed. During the implementation stage, doon na yung mag-sit in yung mga ECC condition, yung mga compliance sa mga government permits na makukuha nila at saka yung anong madadamage nila sa environment during the construction stage.
Oo nga po, Director, you keep on saying, pareho po kayo ni Engineer Pagador, ang sinasabi niyo po, the jetty port hasn't been constructed yet. It hasn't even begun constructing the jetty port. But there's that access road that's being built. Where would that lead to? Hindi po ba yung jetty port? Itong access road pa lang, that there's a reclamation project for that access road, marami na pong naapektuhan. So will you still wait until they begin construction for that jetty port?
We will try to look at on this construction of 500 meters access road because sa issuance ng ECC is not part of the project component. If we will see if it covered dyan ng PD1586, and then right after kung hindi covered diyan ng PD1586, will issue notice of violation and then for adjudication of the cases na if we'll see the cancellation or the suspension of the ECC issued.
Okay, so I just want to get a final answer from you, Director Trajeco. After we put down after this conversation po, after this interview, ano po ang gagawin ng DENR tungkol dito sa nagiging problema dyan sa Zambales?
Magkakanta kami ng thorough investigation at saka inspection sa area to validate the claims of Mr. Fernandez. For the meantime, the inspection report of the main of the PLD will endorse to the Centro for the issuance of notice of violation against complainant Lilia Fernandez and Jerry Fernandez for the violation of Section 78 of PD 705 as amended as enumerated under RA 7164, introducing development to the area without any permits or authority of installation by barbed wires, fence, solar lights, and concrete post, huts, balay, kobo, and no trespassing signages. Because ito pa yung nakita ng inspector na may land conflict sa area.
So sila pa po ang i-issuean yun ng violation?
Because mag-endorse kami sa Centro for the recommendation for the issuance of the notice of violation for the construction of the barbed wire fence and solar lines and concrete post.
Mm-mm. But that's not against AGN trading.
That's not against the AGN trading, but rather on
the citizens.
Lilia Fernandez and Jerry Fernandez.
And because you're looking at this as a land dispute pa din. Tama ho ba?
Yes.
Okay. Pero what can the people expect? I guess that people are counting on the DENR to save their community there. What can they expect from you?
Validate namin yung mga issuance nila ng mga legal documents and then babalikan namin yung mga mitigating measures nila na i-submit prior to the issuance of the ACC. If there will false information being submitted, then we'll issue cancellation or suspension of the ACC issued.
All right. We're going to have to leave it at that because we've run out of time. We'd like to thank Engineer Pagador and also Director William Trajeco of the DENR. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us today. All right, on to more news now. The Philippine government kicks off its booster shot rollout in select drugstores in Metro Manila. Our correspondent Vivian Gulia now joins us for more with more details. Viv, go ahead.
Hi, Carmina. The line of vaccinees here is short on the first day of pharmacy's COVID booster shot rollout here in Pasig City. Vaccine Czar Secretary Carlito Galvez Jr. led the ceremonial vaccination in Watson's SM Supercenter in Pasig. Galvez says this effort, dubbed as Res Bakuna sa Botica, seeks to ramp up booster inoculations in the country amid the threat of the more infectious Omicron variant and to make COVID jabbing more accessible to the public. Since it's only the first day of vaccination for pharmacies, this drugstore targets to jab only around 50 individuals this Thursday, but they will vaccinate more in the coming days. So far, only COVID vaccines of Sinovac and AstraZeneca are available here. The pharmacy does not accept walk-ins, so those interested to get their booster jab here should pre-register with the LGU and wait for their schedule in an effort to also prevent crowding. The mall has designated a waiting area near this pharmacy. Registration and screening is done at the entrance. And inside the drugstore, they put up a barrier separating the vaccination area from other customers. The pharmacy also designated a separate exit point for vaccine recipients. Right outside the exit, there are seats for post-vaccination observation. And just a few steps away, near the mall entrance, an ambulance provided by the LGU is waiting in case of serious adverse events. But as of this morning, out of the 17 vaccinated, none reported experiencing serious side effects. This pharmacy is also offering an incentive, a discount on their items for those who will get vaccinated here. Galvez reminds the public COVID vaccination in pharmacies continue to be free of charge. Just bring your ID and your vaccination card and again pre-register. Should booster vaccination in selected Metro Manila pharmacies go smoothly, other regions may follow suit as early as the second week of February, according to Health Undersecretary Mirna Cabotaje. She says it will depend on which areas will be ready and willing to conduct inoculations in regional pharmacies. Carmina, back to you.
All right. Thanks a lot. Vivian Gulia there joining us live. Take care, Viv. Keep safe. And just to add something to that, we also have a clarification on ABS-CBN News.com regarding the booster shots. Health Secretary Francisco Duque III has said that only healthcare workers, their family members, and essential workers and the indigent population will be given boosters in these drug stores for now. And from there, we're going to take a break. Still ahead, something you don't hear every day, a group of rich people calling on world leaders to make them pay more taxes. More on that when we come back. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Back. You're still watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. The Bank of the Philippine Islands urges the public to be more vigilant amid an increase in money mule scams. Our very own Warren de Guzman now joins us on the line with more details. Warren, go ahead.
Hi, Carmina. Yes, BPI has issued a warning to its clients regarding money mule scams. These scams are a form of money laundering wherein victims' bank accounts are used as conduits by criminals to launder and move large amounts of money acquired from crimes such as online scams, human trafficking, and the like. BPI notes there has been an industry-wide increase in cases of money mules, although it did not give data or figures to illustrate this. BPI Chief Digital Officer Noel Santiago says the drive to include millions of unbanked Filipinos into the financial system through more convenient onboarding practices may have played a role in this. He says, in the past, to open an account, clients are required to go to the branch and present themselves and their ideas, so there's a natural deterrent for anybody who has an intent to commit a crime or intent for fraud. Santiago says these criminals are even trying to use existing accounts. He says they approach unsuspecting victims and borrow their account for the purpose of receiving a remittance from someone. They make the story and the delivery so compelling and attractive, and some accounts are being sold for thousands of pesos for usage. They use social media to advertise, and sad to say, some people fall victim to this. BPI says it is working with the Bankers Association of the Philippines to address this issue through the strengthening of Philippine cybercrime laws. BPI is also supporting the mobile number registration proposal in Congress, also backed by the Philippine Central Bank, to deter the use of prepaid SIM cards in such crimes. Santiago says, we have capabilities to keep track of significant amount, frequency, velocity, and even being able to ascertain through artificial intelligence the possible destination before it gets out of the bank. This is among the many tools and efforts that we have, but we also trust that the legislative branch will expedite the amendment and enactment of policies to protect more Filipinos, not only from falling prey to the money mule scam, but also from cyber criminals in general. Meanwhile, the Philippine Central Bank is also pushing for the passage of the Financial Consumer Protection Act, which will give it and other regulators more teeth in enforcing consumer-centric rules when it comes to cyber attacks and similar disputes. Recently, some 700 BDO depositors were victimized in an unauthorized withdrawal cyber attack. BDO restituted most, but some were not. Some of the victims who were not reimbursed lost hundreds of thousands of pesos. The FCP proposal will allow the Philippine Central Bank to hold hearings on such cases and allow it a stronger stance in ensuring banking institutions' cybersecurity measures are up to speed. Back to you, Carmina.
Thanks a lot, Warren. Take care and keep safe. A group of billionaires and millionaires issues an unusual plea at the World Economic Forum, and as this report tells us, they want world leaders to make them pay more taxes.
Make us pay more tax. That was the message a group of billionaires and millionaires had for leaders convening virtually for the World Economic Forum. The group calls itself the Patriotic Millionaires and is made up of more than 100 ultra-wealthy individuals, including Disney heiress Abigail Disney. They say they should be forced to help pay for the pandemic response and tackle the gulf between rich and poor. In an open letter published on Wednesday, the group said, quote, "While the world has gone through an immense amount of suffering in the last 2 years, we have actually seen our wealth rise. Yet few, if any of us, can honestly say that we pay our fair share in taxes." That sentiment was echoed by Oxfam, which on Monday published a report detailing how the super rich have thrived during the health crisis. The charity details how the world's 10 wealthiest people more than doubled their fortunes to $1.5 trillion during the pandemic. Oxfam President and CEO Abby Maxman.
We've really had, during the pandemic, an inequality explosion. And it's been a period that has been an unprecedented boom for billionaires. 99% of humanity is being left behind. So as we've watched billionaire growth double at the rate of $15,000 per second. That's the same, $80 less per second than a minimum wage worker makes in a year.
The Patriotic Millionaires Group is calling for an annual wealth tax on those with fortunes of more than $5 million. They say that could raise more than $2.5 trillion and pull more than 2 billion people out of poverty. Last year, the World Bank urged countries to consider a wealth tax to help reduce inequality, replenish state coffers depleted by COVID-19 relief programs, and regain social trust. However, outside Argentina and Colombia, no new wealth tax schemes have been initiated since the start of the pandemic.
U.S. President Joe Biden predicts Russian President Vladimir Putin will make a move on Ukraine. In the event of a full-scale invasion, Biden says Russia would pay the price with its businesses possibly losing access to the U.S. dollar. The president also says the response to any Russian invasion would depend on the scale of Moscow's actions and how U.S. allies react.
What I'm concerned about is this could get out of hand, very easily get out of hand. The borders of Ukraine and what Russia may or may not do. I am hoping that Vladimir Putin understands that he is short of a full-blown nuclear war. He's not in a very good position to dominate the world. If he invades, it hasn't happened since World War II. This is the most consequential thing that's happened in the world in terms of war and peace since World War II.
Entertainment news now. Actor Cha Yun-woo is the latest Korean star set to meet Filipino fans virtually. Local telco giant Smart has announced the K-drama star will be joining their upcoming Hallyu Hangouts, where fans get to know their idols. Cha Yun-woo will grace the online event in partnership with View on January 29th, Saturday. For more on that story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, you can play back this newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the news channel.